All right, folks, welcome back to another edition of The Realist Report. This is your host, John Friend. I hope everyone had a very Merry Christmas. Of course, my website is therealistreport.com, where you will find an extensive archive of these podcasts. You will also find all of my blog posts and articles, a contact page, my Twitter feed, which is embedded in the right-hand sidebar of the website, and many other useful and important links. I am also on Telegram and encourage listeners to follow me there. My channel can be found at t.me/TheRealistReport. I am a regular reporter for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, and I also contribute to The Barnes Review, a bi-monthly historical revisionist magazine. Please do subscribe to these fine print publications if you do not already. Check out AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.org for all the details. Okay, with that said, let me introduce our special guest, a returning guest. Dr. Lorraine Day is back once again to discuss the history of vaccines, public health, and the formation of a medical monopoly centered around allopathic medical practices. We also address the biblical nature of the COVID-19 pandemic and how Christians should view the systematic promotion of vaccines, face masks, and other invasive medical interventions on the public. Hope you guys enjoy. Well, Dr. Lorraine Day, thank you so much for joining us once again. You are a returning guest. The last time you were on was in May of 2020, so it's been almost going to be 2 years, well, I guess a year and a half or so. And of course, we were talking about COVID-19 and the agenda behind it, and we're going to be talking about that once again today. But I wanted to kind of start off, you had recommended a book by a woman named Susan Humphreys, and it's called Dissolving Illusions. I went out and I got a copy of that book, and I've read it now. It's a fascinating read. And I think she pretty conclusively demonstrates that the public has been entirely bamboozled with pro-vaccine propaganda put out by Big Pharma and the medical monopoly, and that the mainstream understanding of vaccines is totally fraudulent. She proves that the real history of vaccines demonstrates that they have all been developed under very dubious circumstances, and that they really don't even work as claimed by the establishment. She points out that there are almost no serious studies or authentic evidence that any vaccine has ever been effective or safe, and there's a lot of examples proving that they are harmful and do not even prevent infection, let alone full immunity, which we see on, you know, vivid display right now with COVID-19 and in the promotion of, you know, vaccines today. I mean, people, it seems like the people that are vaccinated and boosted are the ones actually getting sick. So, you know, this book is very relevant. It, you know, it gives a very good background and detail of the history of vaccines. And it really demonstrates that a lot of these illnesses that most people think were solved by vaccination were actually solved by improvements in public health and public infrastructure and, you know, ensuring that we have safe and clean drinking water and, you know, those sorts of things. So like basic improvements in sanitation and public planning and public works and things of that nature. And that's, in my view, is very conclusively demonstrated in the book using all sorts of evidence and proof. She has a number of very interesting graphs that demonstrate all of this. So I wanted to kind of start off and get your take. I mean, I know you're very familiar with this book. In fact, you recommended it, as I mentioned. So can you give us your take on like the history of vaccines in general and, I guess, public health more broadly?
Well, first of all, I agree with everything she says. Vaccines have never worked. Vaccines have always been used by our enemies to destroy our health. Now, as a doctor, I was also deceived because doctors are taught that vaccines are good, and I vaccinated my children, and I'm horrified by it. Fortunately, they were not damaged by them. But of course, when my children were young, there were only about 12 or 15 vaccines that were given to children at that time. Now they get about 52. And so all of the learning disabilities, autism, sudden infant death syndrome, all of those are a result of the vaccination program. But even though it is important to understand that vaccinations do not prevent disease, they harm the body. We should not just focus on vaccines, because there is a bigger plan. The plan is, the next step is famine. And you can see that now with the supply line being interrupted in every area of life. Famines are coming. And then they're also planning a fake alien invasion. And I've talked about this for years, Project Bluebeam. So the famines are coming. This is all relevant, because this is what it says in the Bible about what will happen at the end times. And so, you know, people have been programmed, including Christians have been programmed to take vaccines, but vaccines are drug medications. Now they're meant actually to kill you. The COVID injections are not really vaccines. They don't even come under the category of vaccine. They are kill shots. They are meant to destroy your immune system and kill you. And this is population extermination. So it's of some importance to understand that vaccines have never worked, and that people have been programmed to think that they are good for your health. But God has given us the cure for every disease. It's in the Bible. When I had fourth stage metastatic breast cancer, I found the cure for cancer in the Bible. It's in Deuteronomy 7, 11 to 15, and it says, God says, if you follow my laws, including my natural health laws, my commandments and my decrees, I will keep you free from every disease. And that's how I reversed my severe cancer, which was designated as terminal. I was at one point not expected to live through the night. So there is a cure for disease. It does not include vaccinations. Vaccinations harm your immune system. And so it's good to understand that vaccinations will not make you healthy, and in fact will harm you and your children. But that's not the only thing they have planned for us. We have to also focus on the larger plan. This is called population extermination. And in my newest book called The Deliberate Destruction of America and the World, Who's Doing It and Why, the first chapter I have 13 roadmaps that our enemies have written telling us they're going to do this to us. They tell us, they have told us, and yet nobody's paying attention. It's in the Georgia Guidestones, which are found in Elberton, Georgia. It's in the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. It's in the January 10, 1963 congressional record. It's in all of these. It's on the back of your dollar bill. It's on the back of your dollar bill. It says, announcing the birth, conception, sepsis of the new order of the world. There it is. You've been carrying it around with you all your life. They have told us, and that's what they love to do. They have to want to push it in our face and say, you are all so stupid, you don't even get it. And you line up to take the shots that will kill you. And that's what people are doing. However, the Bible says that will happen. It says that Jesus said himself, he says, it will be like it was in the time of Noah, right before the flood. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, just so life was going on as usual, till the flood came and took them all away. And Jesus' second coming, which is on the horizon, I am not making statements about when it will happen, but it will happen in my lifetime, and I'm a lot older than you. So this is what's happening. This is the end of this era of the world, of this 6,000 years of humanity. This is it. This is the great controversy between Christ and Satan. So we can't lose track of the big picture. Because most, what our enemies really want us to do is focus on small things. Now, I'm not saying vaccinate these kill shots are small things. I'm saying that we should be aware that they're meant to kill us. But we don't want to spend all of our time just focusing on, you know, people talk about, well, how do they kill you? How do they do this? There's the blood clots. That's stuff that we do. All you have to know is that they're designed to kill you. That's what we really have to know. And we have to be aware that the famines are coming. But God says that he'll supply all our needs if we trust him.
I completely agree with you. And if anybody has any questions, I doubt anybody listening to this podcast has any questions or doubts about the dangerous nature of these vaccines. There are a number of great news outlets. I'm on Telegram. I don't know if you're familiar with Telegram, but there are some absolutely incredible channels dedicated strictly to documenting COVID vaccine injuries. And it's happening all over the world. It's incredible. And you see how the media is trying to cover it up and kind of downplay it with stories coming out about how, like, climate change is causing heart attacks and stress is causing, you know, an increase in heart attacks in people. And it's like these ridiculous stories, which are almost designed to cover up the fact that these vaccines are harming a lot of people.
Well, of course, but they're designed to harm you. They're designed to kill you. And that's what we have to understand. And that all of the things that they're doing, the famines, the emptying of the reservoirs in lakes in California that are used for drinking water, they are draining them purposely so we won't have water. See, what we have to understand is in the Bible, in the Old Testament, God brought the Israelites, who, by the way, were not Jews. The Israelites were not Jews. The word Jew never appears in the Bible in the original Hebrew or Greek. They have written it in. It is not there. And I show that in my book, Who Rewrote the Bible. I show it definitively that the words Jews and Gentiles are not there. The word is Judean, and it meant a worshiper of the true God whose presence was in the temple in Jerusalem in Judea. They were called Judeans. They were not Jews. Judaism did not start until 300 years after Christ. So when God was taking the Israelites out of Egypt, he took them into the desert. This is the Exodus. He took them into the desert where they would have no way to get food, no way to get water, no way to get cool in the hot summer days, no way to get heat in the cold winter nights in the desert. And he took them there so they would have to learn to trust him. Now, the Bible tells us in various books in the New Testament that that Old Testament Exodus was written for those as an example for those at the end of time, in the latter days, which is us. Because God is taking the whole world not to a specific location, but to a situation which will demand the same things. We will not be able to get food or water or electricity for heat or cooling, and we will have to learn to trust God. That is what it is all about. It is not specifically about the vaccines, not specifically about the famines. It is about learning to trust God. If Americans and the rest of the world really trusted God, we would not be in the mess we're in now. It's because America has left God. So God, who is a gentleman, has stepped back and he said, well, since you're in love with Satan and all of his things, I will give you over to your lover and see how it is for him to run your world. And that is what is happening now.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's on vivid display for anybody paying attention. You know, I want to ask you and get your take on, like, the history of vaccines. Is it and Humphreys, she talks about she kind of traces it back to the development of the smallpox vaccine. Is that really where the modern understanding of vaccination kind of came from? Was the development of smallpox?
But it's still all fraudulent from the very beginning. It's all fraudulent. Pasteur's germ theory was fraudulent. Beauchamp, who was his contemporary, pointed it out. But you see, the germ theory is the basis, which, it, by the way, the germ theory is not true. Germs do not cause disease any more than flies cause garbage. Flies don't cause garbage. Garbage attracts flies. All right? So the bacteria are there to clean up the mess in our body that we cause by the way we live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. We cause our own disease. The bacteria are not the cause of disease. They're there to clean up the mess. But I know this is very difficult for people to believe, but I've studied it for a long time. And just think about it. Our microbiome, we've got a trillion bacteria in our intestine, that make, that are our friends that make vitamin K, vitamin B. They're part of our immune system. So we've got a trillion of them. How come they don't cause disease? You see? Just sometimes they turn on us. No, they don't. No, they don't. But this is the fraudulent basis of big pharma and medications. And Pasteur was the beginning of that. And Pasteur was part of the cabal that is still ruling the world. And so this is where it began with Pasteur and even before that with the smallpox vaccinations. And what they did was they found a way to slowly kill us.
I agree with you. I'm going along with you. One thing that Humphreys points out was it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the original smallpox vaccine was like a human-animal hybrid that like never even existed naturally. And this is what they were kind of developing and using to inject people with. Is that your understanding of it?
The vaccines have never, these things that they're using to make vaccines have never existed naturally anyway. Just think about this. Think about this. They're talking about viruses. Do you know how many viruses there are in the universe? A quadrillion, quadrillion. There are more viruses than there are, even according to Wikipedia, more viruses than there are stars in the universe, but only 219 cause disease out of a quadrillion, quadrillion. Viruses actually are just cell debris from dying cells. In medicine, when a cell dies, we call it apoptosis. That's what is cell death is called, apoptosis. The cell membrane breaks, the enzymes break up the DNA that's in the cell, it all falls out. The bacteria eat it up because it's cell debris. It's this cell debris that they call a virus. This is a dead thing. You know, they got all these sanitizers that say, oh, it kills the COVID-19 virus. Well, viruses are not alive. They're not alive. How can you kill a rock? It's not alive. This is all part of the propaganda. So viruses are nothing more than pieces of non-living DNA that fall out of a dead cell. And then the bacteria come along and eat up the debris. Let's go back to if you see a big fire and firemen are there. The firemen didn't cause the fire. They're there to clean up the mess. If you see a major traffic accident on the road and there are EMTs there, the EMTs didn't cause the accident. They're there to clean up the mess. If you see a big pile of garbage and rats and flies are eating it, they didn't cause the garbage. They're cleaning up the mess of garbage. God has given us all these scavenger animals on the earth, pigs and scavengers in the sea, such as clams and lobsters and all that, scavengers in the sky like vultures. They clean up the dead mess on the earth. If God didn't give us scavengers, the earth would be uninhabitable because nothing would go away that was dead. God has given us the scavengers in our body. They're called bacteria. They are there as our friends to eat up the mess that we cause by the way we live, eat, and handle stress. But when bacteria that are eating up the mess, say like in an ulcer that you have caused by your stress and not drinking enough water and all that, then when they see a bacteria there, they say, oh, the bacteria caused it. No, we cause it. The bacteria is eating up the mess that we cause, just like the firemen are there cleaning up the mess. The EMTs are there assisting the injured people. They didn't cause the problem, but they've got it all turned backwards, which is what Satan likes to do. And that is the basis of all drug medicine, by the way. God
right.
calls all yep. drug medications, including vaccinations, sorceries, and witchcraft in Revelation 18:23.
Yes. So you're basically saying that our modern paradigm of understanding diseases is 100% backwards.
Yes.
and viruses do not actually cause disease. You know, I was actually reading, it's interesting you bring that up, and we've talked about this in previous podcasts, and I tend to agree with you. I don't know all the details, obviously. This is kind of new information to me, but I was recently reading about the Spanish flu experiments. Are you familiar with Dr. Rosenau?
Those were all caused by the vaccinations. There's no Spanish flu.
Well, I'm not denying what you're saying, but he did a series of experiments where they were taking healthy patients and like having these people that were sick cough on them and inject like saliva into them and even like blood transfusions, and none of this caused the experimental patient to actually get infected with this Spanish flu. So it kind of like disproved the whole, virus theory in general.
They've done that with the cold virus. They've taken a cold virus and they've taken all these volunteers. They put their feet in cold water. They put wet clothes on them. They blew cold breezes on them and they put pure, what they say is cold virus up their nose. Okay. Only 17% got a cold because it wasn't from what all of those things. It was from the way they were living, eating, and handling stress. 17% got a cold. They would have gotten a cold regardless of the experiment. You see? So this doesn't work. And in medicine, we learn about, at least when I was going to medical school, I hear that they no longer teach these Koch's postulates where you have to get the organism out of an animal that has the disease and put it in other experimental animals and they have to get it in order for you to say that that particular organism causes this disease. However, they lie about that all the time because not all the animals get it. So then what do we say? See, Koch's postulates don't work. And then they even say, well, we don't even use Koch's postulates for viral diseases because those postulates don't work anymore. So all they say, what they really are saying is you should just believe us when we tell you it's a disease.
Yes. And that's exactly what this all boils down to, is people just blindly accepting what people like Dr. Anthony Fauci and these other criminals say.
Well, that's Fauci was around during the AIDS epidemic when I was as well. Fauci was lying then. He's lying now. The other thing that people have to understand is, all you have to do, they're just shoving it on our faces. What does COVID stand for? C, certificate O of V, vaccination ID, certificate of vaccination ID 19. One is in the alphabet is A, 9 is I. So it's artificial intelligence. This is all they're doing. Is they're masking this, the Omicron variant is just an anagram of moronic. They're just saying,
yes.
And of course, the people don't know that the Delta variant, is the waves that we're in when we're in our deepest sleep. So they're saying, oh, the Delta, because you guys are all asleep. You have no idea we're killing you. And so these are all have a double entendre and even Corona. Corona. Why did they name it Corona? Well, C-O-R-O-N-A is six letters. So you got 1-6. And the C in the alphabet is 3. If you go with the O and the R, it turns out it's 66. So Corona is 666. And on top of that, the group that runs the world are the Rothschilds from the city of London. They own the money supply of 192 of 195 countries in the world, the central banks. And what is their corporation called? The Crown Corporation. The Crown Corporation is not the Queen. The Crown Corporation is the Rothschilds who run the world. And what is Crown? It's Corona.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting. So what do you think? I mean, people have always gotten sick, right? So I mean, is this what is causing people to get sick? Just the normal, how people always get sick from not taking care of their body?
Well, of course. People eat, live, and handle stress horribly. Look at the incidence of cancer. In 1900, the incidence of cancer in America was 3%. Now it's greater than 50% because of the way people eat, live, and handle stress. They are not getting COVID. COVID does not exist. I show that in my book. Actually, the Rothschilds and Fauci and his group started patenting the non-existent COVID in like 2003. I've got some of the documents there in my book. And then the other thing is that they have also patented any way to test for whether you're going to have COVID. So if anybody tests with anything, then they are violating the patent, you see. But again, Carrie Mullis won the Nobel Prize for developing the PCR test. The PCR test does not test for anything, and that's what they've been using to test for COVID. The PCR is nothing but a chemical copier. It just copies what is there. It doesn't test for anything. All the numbers are completely made up out of thin air. And on top of that, when they say, oh, the incidence of flu has gone down, the CDC has never kept track of the flu. Never. And many people don't even go to a doctor when they get the flu. I've been a doctor for 50 years. Neither I nor any doctor I have ever known, and I know thousands of them, have ever reported the flu in a patient to anybody, much less the CDC. They are making these statistics up. And yet I see truth tellers, and I'm not against these people who are the truth tellers. I admire that they have enough guts to do it, but they buy into this. Oh, well, you see, the flu has gone way down this. No, they've never kept track of the flu. I was an advisor for the CDC until way back in 1990, until I found out they were all liars.
Yeah. Well, I saw an article a while back showing, like, the flu, the statistics anyways, and I don't, you know, buy any of the statistics anyways, but the flu cases went down to, like, literally zero, and then they so basically, COVID was just the flu rebranded and marketed.
Even the flu rebranded, it doesn't exist. COVID does not exist. See, that's what I mean. They get you with these, well, it's just the flu rebranded. It is not. COVID doesn't exist.
Well, the people that are getting sick with these, like, flu-like symptoms and testing positive with COVID.
Yeah, but they're not testing positive because they're being tested with a test that doesn't test for anything. You see what I mean?
Well, no, yeah, I mean, I agree.
Lie upon lie, they're not testing positive for COVID. The hospitals are giving them the diagnosis of COVID because they get $9,000 or $10,000 more if they give them that false diagnosis. You get run over by a truck, you died of COVID. If you fall out of a window, you died of COVID. Okay? If you die of a heart attack, you died of COVID. They have never, never, never kept track of flu statistics.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. There's so much fraudulent. I mean, everything is fraudulent with this whole entire system. And again, Dissolving Illusions kind of goes back and lays out the history of this, how we came here. Another book I was reading I mentioned before we started is Murder by Injection by Eustace Mullins. And this was published, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the 80s. I don't have the book right here handy next to me, but, it's a couple decades old. But he kind of describes he kind of traces the history of the establishment of, like, this medical monopoly centered around the AMA, the American Medical Association, and how it was created and sort of was set up and designed to control the medical industry, to control the regulation of medical products, which led to widespread corruption and bribery, and, you know, it ultimately resulted in the promotion and approval of dangerous products, while genuinely safe and effective medical products were rejected and shunned.
You have to understand this from the big picture. This is the Rockefellers, who were from the same, by the way, the same cabal that is running the world now, the same ethnic origin that's running the world now. The Rockefellers set out to not only control all pharmaceuticals, because many of them are made from petroleum products, and they were, of course, controlling Standard Oil, but this was, again, a plan to get rid of all natural medicine and start killing the population of the world. We can't lose sight of that. It's not just bribery and big pharma. It is a master plan to destroy not only Christianity, but all Gentiles in the world. That's what
right.
It
is. Yeah, well, and he describes this war on homeopathic medicine, and even more specifically, you know, chiropractic practices. And I want to ask you, what is the difference between homeopathic and chiropractic? Is chiropractic just like a division of homeopathic medicine?
No, they're actually very, very, very different. Chiropractic is really manipulation of the spine. That's what chiropractic, the center of chiropractic, is the manipulation of the spine. And again, there are a lot of very sketchy things in chiropractic, because I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and they talk about, oh, your spine is out of alignment. No, the spine doesn't get out of alignment unless you're run over by a truck. I am a surgeon. I've done a lot of spine surgery. I'm an orthopedic trauma surgeon. I have done a lot of spine surgery. The tendons and ligaments on the spine are so tight that it's very difficult surgery. Your body cannot just get out of alignment. That's not it. They say, oh, we'll manipulate your body and get you back into alignment. So there are some fraudulent things in chiropractic too. But I will say they hurt people a lot less than people do in orthodox medicine. And homeopathy is a very specific kind of medicine where they say, and it's like mini vaccinations. They say what we do is we take a little tiny bit of the substance that causes your disease, and we dilute it a lot, and then you take that, and then that gives you immunity. So there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on in homeopathy, but it's not just homeopathy. There's naturopathy. You're a naturopath, and those people give out huge amounts of vitamins and minerals. By the way, the vitamins and minerals, there aren't little elves grinding up fresh veggies in some room. They take those vitamins and minerals from the worst kind of things. They take them from toxic cow livers and sewage sludge. That's where they get it to make your vitamin pills. And then the governing body that approves them said, we don't care where you get them. And so this is not, when I first had cancer, I started off taking a whole lot of supplements. My tumor grew. Those things don't work. I tried 40 different types of natural, non-toxic, alternative medicine to try to get well. None of them worked. I refused all chemotherapy, radiation, and I refused mastectomy, even though it was breast cancer. I had fourth stage metastatic breast cancer that was declared terminal. I got well by all natural methods, but by following God's way, not even man's way of natural medicine. But what the Rockefellers came in to do was to eliminate all natural medicine and anything that didn't require drugs. And so they got control of everything. It was the same way. I told you the Rockefellers are the same kinship of the Rothschilds. And then they had Rockefeller had Abraham Flexner, who got certain legislation passed. And then the guy who became editor of the Journal of the American Medical Association and head of the American Medical Association, plus the journal, was Morris Fishbein, who was for 25 years controlling of all that. This was all a plan for the last over 100 years of getting control of medicine in order to kill the rest of us. It's still going on. It is still going on. It has gone on against me because I got well without chemotherapy, radiation, or mastectomy, mutilating surgery. I got well. So they're after me. The same group is after me. His name is Stephen Barrett. He has quackwatch.com. If you go to try to go to my website, drday.com, he buys the space right next to mine. He says, beware of Dr. Day. Stay away from Dr. Day. She's a quack.
So same tactics. Right. They were okay. Using back then. Yeah. Well, you mentioned Morris Fishbein, a Jew, I believe, originally from St. Louis, who, if I'm not mistaken, didn't really have any sort of medical background.
He went to medical school. He just never practiced.
Okay. Fishbein and Flexner, these are two major villains in this book for sure. And, I mean, overall, I haven't finished the whole book. I'm about halfway through. But you just simply cannot trust this industry in general. They do not have your best interests at heart.
only that, you know, they're always saying, even the people who are the truth tellers now, they're saying, well, the FDA has not approved this yet. The FDA is part of the criminal cabal.
Right.
Trust them? I have had experience with them. See, I've been around long enough that I have been advisor for the CDC. I know them. I know they're all liars. I have testified against the FDA. I know they're all liars. I have been on committees of the NIH. I know they're all liars. I have been around doing this kind of thing for over 30 years. All these other people are, you know, Johnny-come-latelys. They haven't had this experience that I was at the height of orthodox academic medicine. I know the criminality that goes on at that level.
Yeah, yeah, no, I believe you. I have no doubt. It's incredible. And, you know, it's sad that there's not more doctors like you speaking. I mean, there are doctors speaking out now, especially with this COVID pandemic, but not in the way that you are. I mean, who is actually addressing the virus? Well, the very nature of, like, viruses and, like, that whole paradigm, how it's totally fraudulent. You don't see very many people talking about that at all.
No, none of them are talking about that. We are all taught to believe that viruses exist. But the whole point is you have to start going, how can you prove that they do? And see, the reason that everybody loves viruses, I'll tell you why everybody loves the virus. Number one, people love that because they don't have to take responsibility for their own illness. Oh, it wasn't the way I was eating, living, and having stress. Somebody sneezed on me and I got this disease. So I can blame this on somebody else. That's number one. Number two is the evolutionists love the virus because the virus, they say, oh, is it living? Is it not living? We don't know. Is it? Oh, it's the bridge between non-living and living things in evolution. So they love the virus because they think that's the bridge. Okay. So then, Big Pharma loves the virus because there are quadrillion of them in the universe, so their ability to make drugs for them is unlimited.
Right. I'm curious, how important is the AMA today in relation to, like, some of these other big organized established groups, like the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases that we hear so much about now, or the CDC or the FDA?
They're totally different. AMA is not a governmental organization. The NIH and the CDC are. The AMA is just the society that doctors join and become a member of the American Medical Association. It does have a lot of clout, but it's hooked up. It's totally owned by Big Pharma. I can tell you that. I have never joined the AMA in all of my career. I have been a member of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgery, but I've never joined the AMA because it's been corrupt ever since it began. So, but the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, is a government organization, and they're the ones that provide most of the funding for their medical research. But they will not fund any research that will prove the germ theory wrong. So they control what is taught in medical schools because they give huge amounts of money to medical schools, and they control what is taught to the doctors.
Right. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the AMA also plays a role in this with, like, the accreditation process. Do they play any role in that?
Well, they don't accreditation of who? Doctors or?
Yes. Doctors and medical schools in general.
No, the AMA does not really pay, have that much to do with accreditation of medical schools. They give continuing education. But again, I've never been a member of the AMA. I have to do continuing education as every doctor does, but it's not through the AMA.
Okay.
It's not through the AMA. So, like the state of California requires me as a doctor here to have 50 hours of continuing education every 2 years, but it's not through the AMA.
Okay, interesting. Have you seen or read Robert Kennedy Jr.'s recently published book about Dr. Fauci?
I have not seen it. See, I, again, I knew about Dr. Fauci because I was before when Robert Kennedy Jr. was in diapers. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't need to read his book to know about Anthony Fauci. I don't know Fauci personally, but I did battle with him politically through the media 30 years ago. So I don't need to know. I know a whole lot more about Fauci than Kennedy does.
What was, can you maybe just give us a brief background in that, that whole experience battling this whole system, that, well, the medical system in general when it came to AIDS?
Well, when I started talking about the government cover-up of AIDS, I was invited to be on almost all the major media in America, and I was asked to come and speak to the Royal Society of Medicine in England. I was asked to come to speak in Australia. They got all the heads of all the medical associations in Australia, in the whole country, to come to Sydney to hear me speak. I was on CNN Crossfire, Oprah Winfrey, Nightline, Larry King Live, and eventually featured on 60 Minutes. Australia 60 Minutes came up to do a piece on me as well. I thought, and I spoke to OSHA. They asked me to come and speak to Occupational Safety and Health Administration in Washington. And I thought at first that they really wanted to know the truth about AIDS. But over time, I realized they didn't. What they were trying to do, because I was very naive 30 years ago. I thought the government was good and wanted to help us and all that. I found out what they were trying. I was a professor at one of the best medical schools, university medical schools in America, University of California, San Francisco. What they were trying to do was destroy my credibility. They were never successful, but that was their plan. Get her.
Right.
When I was on, who's the guy that it has a program who has multiple sclerosis, but he's got it sort of under control. When I was on his program, someone came back while I was waiting in the green room and said to me, I just want you to know that the network has recruited all homosexuals for the program today, and they want them to destroy you.
Wow.
But it turns out when I said to them, you know, I and my crew have been tested for AIDS for your safety. Isn't it reasonable for you to be tested for AIDS for our safety? And they all agreed, and they didn't trash me, and so they never aired the program.
Huh, interesting. What was your main message back then, you know, when it came to AIDS?
My main message was they said that this was a contagious disease, but they were not protecting anybody in the public. They wanted doctors not to have any special protection because what they were really doing was promoting homosexuality. They didn't want homosexuals to have contact tracing. We did contact tracing for all other sexually transmitted diseases, but not for AIDS. We could test for any disease in the world without a consent of the patient. We could test them for any disease except AIDS. We couldn't test them for AIDS. So AIDS was a protected disease, and they were even in San Francisco, they were going to the Castro District, which was the main area where homosexuals live, to collect blood for donations. When they said, you know, if you get a unit of blood, you'll get AIDS and you'll die. And yet they were going to that area to collect blood. I mean, they were doing everything to infect everybody.
Right.
Not protect them, to infect everybody. And they didn't want to give us healthcare workers any special protection. They viewed us all as wimps. They said, oh, you just don't want to take any risks. This was from the guys sitting in the offices at the CDC in white shirts and ties when we were covered with blood as trauma surgeons. You see? So this was really the beginning of the real promotion of homosexuality, and for them as a protected group, and put everybody else at risk. That's what it was about.
Now, did, and from what I understand, I haven't read Kennedy's book, but from what I understand, one of the big themes is that the HIV virus doesn't actually cause AIDS, and that, you know, this has been a big controversy. And
now we know that now. I didn't know that at the time. I believed them at the time, and I was about as big a risk as anybody, and the New England Journal of Medicine said my risk personally. They named me by name and said that my risk was greater than 50% because of the work I did, because orthopedic surgery is very dangerous. We get stuck all the time. We're working with high-speed power saws and drills and things like that. And so, but it turns out now that HIV was never, ever isolated either. COVID-19 has never been isolated. It doesn't exist. HIV was never isolated, even though Luc Montagnier, I think, got the Nobel Prize for it, for isolating. It's never been isolated. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. The AIDS is caused, again, by their lifestyle, including the drugs that they were taking, the recreational and street drugs they were taking, caused the destruction of their immune system. Then when they put them on AZT, AZT had already been put by the wayside. AZT was actually developed for cancer patients, but it was too toxic for cancer patients, so they gave it to AIDS patients and killed them.
Right, yeah. I was going to say, you know, there was a lot of deaths associated with AZT as soon as it was implemented. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it like thousands of dollars for, you know, to administer it? So it was like a huge moneymaker for them as well.
They probably cost 10 cents a dose, and they cost, you know, just like chemotherapy, they charge you $5,000 for one shot or something in some of those things. But the whole point, it made a lot of money for them, and it killed the people that were taking it. And so HIV is the same thing. See, HIV, what's a virus? A virus, the virus. No, it doesn't cause AIDS. COVID-19, the virus. No, it doesn't cause disease. You see, when they got a quadrillion viruses in the universe, which are nothing but dead pieces of DNA, they can do anything.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it is, the more and more I learn about, you know, the history of vaccines and just the medical establishment in general, the more, you know, it's just like, wow, this literally there's nothing that we can trust about any of this. And it's so obvious now with this COVID situation.
When I was in medical school, we're talking about 55 years ago, I was in medical school. I realized at that time, doctors don't get anybody well. They don't get anybody well. Doctors only have two methods of treatment. One is drugs. The other is cut off your body parts and cut out your organs. Neither of those cure anybody. Drugs don't cure disease. Drugs treat symptoms while your disease continues to progress. All right? Drugs don't cure any disease. They don't even cure infections. They don't cure infections. Every doctor, including myself, has seen patients that were very, very sick with infections, people who had multiple injuries from whatever kind of accident, and they have a massive infection, and they're on the right antibiotic in the right dose, and they die because they don't have enough immune system to get them well, because all an antibiotic will do is kill bacteria. That's all it does. It doesn't get you well, all right? If you don't have enough immune system, you can't get well. So drugs don't cure disease. So doctors can't cure anything. That's when I was in medical school. In fact, when I was in medical school, before the term intervention was even invented, my classmates had an intervention on me because I decided to go into orthopedic surgery. Because if you get run over by a truck or if you fall out a window, that's not a disease. That's an accident. That's not caused by the way you live, eat, and handle stress. It's an accident. I put you back together again, and you can go live your life. So my friends came to me and said, oh, you're too smart to just work with your hands. You should work with your brain like us in internal medicine. You use our brain. And I said, you guys never get anybody well. You don't get anybody well. You just keep giving them drugs and drugs and drugs. If you go to the doctor and he says you have or she says you have high blood pressure, they'll give you pills and say you have to be on them for the rest of your life. Why? Because it never cures your high blood pressure. High blood pressure is caused by the way you live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. And like every other disease.
I was going to say, just like any other disease, including AIDS, if that's even a real thing. But
exactly. And I took care of these people in San Francisco who were getting AIDS. I know how they live. It is the most disgusting, degenerate lifestyle you can imagine. It is so self-destructive. I wrote a book which is entitled Who Wants Homosexuals Dead? Now, it's a very controversial title, but what I show is anybody who promotes that lifestyle wants them dead because it's a very self-destructive lifestyle. They destroy themselves by their lifestyle.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, and that aspect has never really been addressed in this whole AIDS debate at all.
Except by me.
Right. I was going to say, except for, you know, except. And, you know, I wonder, I don't even know if Robert Kennedy even gets into that issue. Yeah.
Like in diapers at the time this was all going on, or maybe in grade school or something. But you see, I wrote a book way back in 1990 called AIDS, What the Government Isn't Telling You. It sold 100,000 copies. It was never in a bookstore because I wouldn't put it in a bookstore. I wouldn't give it into the hands of the enemy. And so I was just on a lot of radio programs, over 1,000 radio programs, and I sold it that way. And it sold over 100,000 copies. This most recent book, I've written 12 books so far. The most recent one is The Deliberate Destruction of America and the World, Who's Doing It and Why? And it's all of my 30 years of research since the AIDS epidemic, once I woke up to see what the government was doing and how they were trying to kill us. And I show us how they have told us over and over again what they're doing to us. Nobody listens. Nobody understands. Even the doctors don't understand. Doctors are brainwashed. They were brainwashed during the AIDS epidemic, and everybody is afraid to speak out. See, here's the reason. Doctors can't think anymore. When you are in high school and you want to go to a good college, what do? You work hard, you get good grades, and you never rock the boat. So then when you get into a good college, you want to go to a good medical school, you work hard, you get good grades, and you never rock the boat. And when you're in a good medical school and you want to get into a good residency, you work hard, you get good grades, you never rock the boat. By the time a doctor is finished, he doesn't even know how to think critically. It is only because my father taught me at a very young age that the truth is very important and the truth is worth dying for. And you never give in to pressure. And I have had
absolutely
threats to my life. When I was in San Francisco speaking out about the AIDS epidemic, I had so many threats to my life that the hospital administrator had to have armed guards in the operating room with me at frequent times because so many threats to my life. I had AIDS-contaminated needles sent to me through the mail. The FBI was involved in that one. And even when I came down, lived in Southern California, for a number of years, it hasn't happened recently, for a number of years, I had black unmarked helicopters hanging 10 feet above my house, shaking my house so violently that they shattered a floor-to-ceiling sliding glass door.
Wow.
I have had, and I had one guy when I was, again, an advisor to the CDC way back, and I was in Atlanta, and there was a government man that I had known casually. He was from one of the departments of the government, and he said, let's go out for lunch. And so he said, I want to talk to you. So we went to a restaurant that was a huge restaurant. We went right in the middle of where people were eating. And I said, what are we doing here? He said, I wanted to get to a place where I knew there would be no recording devices, no listening devices. And I want to tell you, if you don't shut up about AIDS, we're going to do to you what we did to Karen Silkwood.
I was going to say, who was she?
Karen Silkwood was getting ready to testify to Congress. In fact, they made a movie about it. Cher was starred in it. And Karen Silkwood, it was called Silkwood. And Karen Silkwood was working in a factory or a production company that was making atomic energy. And they were not protecting the employees at all. And she had collected all the evidence. She was going to testify to Congress. When she was driving back to Washington, D.C. from wherever she lived, they ran her off the road down an embankment. She was killed, and they took all of her papers.
Wow. So you were directly threatened.
Of course. Basically, yeah. I've been directly threatened many, many times. I can't even count the number of times my life has been threatened because I was telling the truth.
Right. Well, God bless you for doing that. I mean, I completely agree with you. That's definitely what drives me, is trying to figure out what's going on in this world and why, and getting to the bottom of things. And I want to kind of wrap up here, and you've kind of already addressed sort of the biblical nature of what's going on with this pandemic. And maybe could you address how should genuine Christians view, the systematic promotion of vaccines and face masks and all these other, invasive medical interventions? Go ahead.
We don't want to major in minors. I'll play their silly game and wear a mask to go into a store, because that's not where I draw the line. The vaccines are meant to kill you. See, most Christians aren't even Christians. They claim to be Christians, I guess, because they go to church. And they said the little ditty, I believe in Jesus Christ and all that. They don't really study their Bible. If they studied their Bible, this wouldn't be a problem, because Revelation tells us all about this. It says famines, pestilence, which are pandemics, wars, and death by the sword. They've got guillotines in all the FEMA camps. They have guillotines in all the FEMA camps. I know that for sure. This is all in my book. The FEMA camps are where they're going to take people who don't adhere to what they want us to do. Christians even are saying, I got to take the vaccine because I'll lose my job. God says, if you trust me, I will supply all your needs. That was the whole thing in the Exodus, is to learn to trust God. This is about learning to trust God. When I'm interviewed by many of these people, what are we going to do to take America back? We're not taking America back. We're going down. All you have to do is read Daniel and Revelation. This is the end of this era. Jesus is coming soon. And if people had understood that God says that all medications, whether they're drug medications or vaccinations or all big pharma, are sorceries and witchcraft, and God has given us a way to get well, which is totally natural. Totally natural. The way I got well from cancer, by changing everything about our life. And so most people, including Christians, are going to die. They're going to die because they're going to give in, because they don't really trust the Lord. You look at the Israelites as they were in the desert, their eyes complaining. God took them through the Red Sea on dry land, and about two chapters later, we don't have any water. We don't have any water. We don't have any food. And, they never learned to trust God. That whole generation had to die off, and it was the next generation that God took in to the promised land. The only ones that were from the first generation were Caleb and Joshua. All the rest died in the wilderness.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, definitely have to have faith and put your full trust in God at this moment. There's no doubt about that.
The only way you can do that is to know God better than you know any human being on earth, your wife, your husband, your kids, your parents. And in order to do that, you've got to really study the Bible, and nobody's doing that.
Right.
When I had cancer, I really started studying the Bible. It took me 12 years to write the book, Who Rewrote the Bible? 12 years of research, because I found out, if we needed modern medicine of any sort to get well, then God would be the biggest bigot there ever was, because 3/4 of the world don't have access to modern medicine. Modern medicine is of the devil. Sorceries and witchcraft, that's what the word pharmakia is, which is pharmacy. God calls it sorceries and witchcraft because it leads you, everybody just wants a quick fix. Oh, take a pill, take a pill, take a pill. No, God says change your life.
Change your life, change your diet. I think a lot of it is.
Diet is 1/10 of the plan. When I had cancer and I changed my diet to the right diet, the diet I still eat, by the way, I've been well for 28 years, 28 years. I've not been to a doctor for anything. I don't take any drug medications. I'm totally well. I still work a 10-hour day, 6 days a week. I make sure I get my sleep. I make sure I eat right. I make sure I've forgiven everybody who's ever wronged me and all the other things God requires that we do. And in less than 2 months, I'll be 85, and I'm going on 40.
Wow, incredible. Well, you're doing great work. I'm looking at your website, drday.com. I know you do a free Bible study, correct? That's like an online program?
It's an online Bible study. It's every Monday night. It's free. Over 550 people from all over the world have already signed up for it. And I also have another website called goodnewsaboutgod.com. Goodnewsaboutgod.com. I've got over 10,000 political articles on that website, all categorized so you can find them. I've got over 350 Bible studies on that website, all free. Again, I've got Dr. Day's updates on the homepage at goodnewsaboutgod.com, all about COVID and everything else, many articles I had written myself, and how they can actually vaccinate you with the test, the testing swab. And I have another one, latest postings, where I post other people's articles that I find important about COVID and whatever's going on in the world. And then on drday.com, I've got all the health information. I was diagnosed with Parkinson's a year before I was diagnosed with cancer, and I had quite a severe tremor. When I got well from my cancer, all my Parkinson's symptoms went away too. That's when I realized that all diseases are caused by the way we live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. But I wanted to point out, when I was first diagnosed with cancer and I changed my diet to the right diet, which is a totally natural vegan diet with most of my food raw, that's the diet I still eat. Diet alone does not work because my tumor continued to grow until I instituted all the other 9 steps in God's health plan. And again, all that information is on my website at drday.com. I've got a starter package which contains 4 DVDs, 4 books, and 6 CDs. It's everything you need to know to reverse any life-threatening disease.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Day. I will have your websites linked when I post this program. And I want to thank you very much for taking the time to join me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks.